Well, Father's Day, what is it? I don't mean like when was it started and when did the government say this is a day we'll set forth and who started it. I don't mean that stuff. What is it? As fathers, what are we looking for? I'm still trying to get it together, by the way. Thank you, Spencer. What is it? Well, since I mentioned Spencer, it's a time that as fathers, we want to sit around and have people just lavish love on us. Just line up, you know, have all our kids just line up, single file, of course, nice and orderly, without squabbling, and just tell us all the things they love about us. Just to pour love out on us, right? Well, maybe not, but that's kind of what we may hope and think and wish for. And I thought, man, I told Cindy, it's pretty simple. Pretty simple for me. I just want to sit at home with a big bowl of watermelon. And that's what I want for Father's Day. Unfortunately, I ate it all last night. But we have these different ideas. Well, we probably, you know, like I said, want our children to do that. Maybe they won't, don't, haven't ever, and still won't after that encouragement today to do such. Similar thing for Mother's Day. I don't know if any of the kids did that to their moms. But for Father's Day, we desire these things. Won't happen for most of us. Okay, what next? Well, maybe we can go to our fathers and we can lavish love on them. Oh, many of our fathers aren't with us anymore. By the way, Eric picks amazing videos all the time, does he not? That was a beautiful video, by the way, to show all the different fathers. And I love that. There's father figures in our lives. There's different things. But our fathers may not be with us anymore. How do we lavish love on them now? What's next? Man, what if we lavish love on the Father in heaven? And I'm talking about God the Father. What if we lavished love on Him and said, oh my goodness, it's Father's Day every day. And let me line up in reverence, in obedience, in honor, so that I can lavish love on you now. And tell you what you mean to me. You know, Eric and I went to our Free Methodist Conference up in Kansas. We took two conferences, the Mid-America Conference that we're part of in Great Plains up in Kansas. They voted and we joined the two conferences together, which is good. This conference was different. God was in the midst of that conference. The Holy Spirit was in the midst of that conference. And it was one of the most productive and fruitful conferences I've ever been to. Just an amazing time. And we heard different things from both our superintendent and our bishop that they challenged us to, that they inspired us to. And I thought one of the things is to live a life of holiness. That they constantly talk about. And I thought part of that is lavishing love back on the Father. Turn in your Bibles. I'm going to get it straight this week and not say Matthew chapter John. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3 this week. 1 John chapter 3. And let's see how we can lavish love on the Father who lavished love on us first. Amen. 1 John chapter 3. At the very end of the Bible. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 through 3 will be our scripture reading today. And it says, see how very much our Father loves us. Well, we could stop right there and it'd say enough. See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know Him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but He has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as He is pure. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray today, Lord, we pray today that we recognize You for who and what You are, but also that we recognize ourselves for who and what we are. We pray today for the fatherless. We pray today for those needing a father figure in their life, Lord. And we pray that You can be that father to them in the absence of a physical father. Lord, I pray today that You may add Your blessing to the reading of Your holy word. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I love just these first couple verses. See how very much our Father loves us. And it says we have to see it, we have to observe it and acknowledge it. For He calls us His children. We have to see and understand and know and accept and acknowledge that. We belong to Him. It says that is what we are. He calls us His children. Why? Because we are. But the people who belong to the world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know Him. So if we are God's children, we have to know that. We have to accept it, acknowledge that, and make sure we understand what that means. As children, we're all somebody's children, we have responsibilities to our parents. When we were growing up, we had responsibilities. We may or may not have heeded those responsibilities. We may not have acted on them. But we have responsibilities. So we have to recognize who and what we are. We have to recognize who He is and that He loves us. It says, dear children, or dear friends, we are already God's children. But not everything's been revealed to us yet. We don't know what it's going to be like when Jesus comes, it says. But we do know we will be like Him. And we also know that we are made in whose image? God's image. Yes, our parents come together to create us, but they come together to create us, and God has done an amazing thing, said, everyone is created in My image. We do know we will be like Him, for we see Him as He really is. But I love this verse 3. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as He is pure. Do we have an eager expectation? Or do we just have a daily or a weekly expectation? And that was one of the things they brought out at the conference that Eric and I were at. This shouldn't be a once a year, Easter time. Ooh, let's think about Jesus and what He means to us and the sacrifice. Oh, Palm Sunday. That's it. We can honor Him then. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I got another idea. Another time we can honor Him. Christmas time. We can celebrate His birth. And the wise man came. I don't have any other times of eager expectation. Are there more? Absolutely. Before I get any further, and I said I wasn't going to follow my notes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. You know, a couple weeks ago, there were about half you people in here, half as many people, and they were louder than that. Let's try it again. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Thank you. We come with eager expectation and we will rejoice in this day and be glad in it while it is here, when it comes, when we wake up. Now, I know half of you are going, would someone in the sound booth quiet him down a little? But I'm telling you, when we come with eager expectation, you cannot quiet that down. And I'm telling you, I have been meeting him with an eager expectation. When we come together to worship the last couple weeks, man, let's worship him in spirit and in truth. Man, let's get our heart connected to God. One of the things that they mentioned at the conference that I made note of, and you'll hear it again, sin is in direct relationship to a broken relationship with Christ. And I thought, woo, better write that down. When I sin, what is broken in my relationship with Christ that caused me to do it? Yikes. That will take some internal looking. All those who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure. I just thought of a couple occasions during the year. I mean, Advent is a time of expectation, the coming celebration of the birth of Christ. Okay, so we give ourselves 4 weeks for Advent. Palm Sunday, maybe Easter Sunday. What else do we have? I don't know. We have every other day that he has given us breath. And I'm telling you, when we wake up in the morning, if we don't recognize the gift that is, 1st day of the conference, the first hour or two, they said, oh, Pastor so-and-so is here. He had to leave. His sister died unexpectedly this morning, and the pastor left. A lady that I had met, she came new to the conference a couple years ago in Buffalo, Missouri. And when Cindy and I were going up to Iowa, we stopped by her church. Why? Just to be a blessing to her and say hello. Made some great friendships there with some other pastors from their church. And she said, I remember you came in and played that piano. And we don't have a piano player. And I said, well, you still don't when I'm sitting at it. But she said that piano was a gift from a longtime member who was 90-some years old. And on the last day of our conference yesterday, she said, oh, the lady that gave that piano passed away last night. She said, I just thought it was very interesting that we'd been talking about that the last 2 days. What's your point, Adam? My point is when we wake up, we have to recognize he's given us a gift to still be here. And when I come and I look at all of you, you are a gift to me to be here. And I'm so thankful for that. And I come with eager expectation. The Father loves us, and he's lavished his love on us. When we continue on with 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it goes on and says, everybody who sins is breaking God's law. And again, I challenge you to say, what is it about my relationship with Christ that causes me to sin? Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins. Now let's stop there for a minute. Jesus came to take away our sins. He paid the price for our sins, but he came to take them away. We don't have to live in that anymore. We don't have to be chained to that anymore. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Did you hear that? They do not know him, or they wouldn't sin. or they don't understand him. Christ came. He came and he gave his life for me so that I don't have to sin anymore. And I can be forgiven and my sins can be buried if I understand that relationship. If I turn my life over to him. Not a one-time deal. I've accepted Christ. Woo-hoo. It's not a one-time transaction. Well, that part is to a degree, but what I'm saying is that's not the end of it. It doesn't end there. You have to understand who he is, what he is about, what he desires from each one of us. For each one of us, he desires these things that are all the same. And then these things, he desires it based on our gifts and our talents, our finances, our time. Then he wants different things from those resources that we have. Verse 7, dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. There are tons of people out there trying to deceive people about this. Big names, no names, YouTube, TikTok, whatever. Dear children, and that includes the oldest children in here. All of us. Don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous. Even as Christ is righteous, but when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning, because God's life is in them. We don't make a practice of sinning. Practice, repeated efforts. We don't make a practice of it. It doesn't say we don't, but we don't make a practice of it. Because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. Verse 11, this is a message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one, and he killed his brother. And why did he kill his brother? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. So don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you for being righteous. If we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. We have crucified the flesh. But a person who has no love is still dead. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. We know what real love is. Oh, there's something to take note of. We know what real love is. How do we know that? Because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other, but let's show the truth by our actions. That bears repeating. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do the things that please Him. How do I lavish love on the Father? He's already lavished so much love on me. How do I lavish that back? We can come to God with bold confidence. Verse 21. Verse 22, we will receive from Him whatever we ask because we obey Him and do the things that please Him. What's a great Father's Day gift? To do the things that please our Father. And this is His commandment. We must believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with Him and He with them. And we know He lives in us because the Spirit He gave us lives in us. If we love the Father, and I want to lavish my love back to Him, and I want to show Him just a small bit of the same love He has lavished on me. We don't make a practice of sin. Again, we don't make a practice of it. And I want you to really think about that. Do we practice sin? I don't know. I mean, that's an individual question, right? Do we practice sin? I said the last couple weeks in our worship, what's in our heart is going to come out. But the filter to our heart is what's in our mind. What do we put in our mind? What are we saying? What are we listening to? What are we watching? What are we doing? That's all in our mind. And then it filters down into our heart, or it doesn't filter down because it's clogged with these different things. A practice of sin, possibly. So we don't make a practice of sin. We love one another. We don't just say it. I love you, I love you. What do we show it? It says, you show it by your actions. We understand real love because God showed us by giving Jesus Christ as payment for our sins. That's how we know real love, by the sacrifice God made for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 through 11 tells us that. It says, but God showed us His great love by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we were still sinners, He showed us His great love by sending Christ to die for us. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So now we can rejoice. Again, so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. In that new relationship with Christ, when we think about that, coming with expectation, eager expectation. You got to read that one more time. Verse 11. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God. Guys, we can rejoice in that. We can rejoice in our new relationship with Him. And by the way, I don't care when you accepted Jesus Christ. If you have a new relationship starting today with Him, you can rejoice in your wonderful new relationship with God. And by the way, if tomorrow you have another epiphany or eye-opening experience or encounter with the living God, and that faith grows, you can celebrate that as well. Why? Because it is a new relationship. And I pray every day is new for us. His mercies are new every day. That ought to make our relationship with Him new every day. And it says here, because of that, I can rejoice. I can celebrate that. But how do we get sidetracked and derailed and off track from showing God our love? Bar the music here. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me, it says. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. But I love verse 2. It says, when I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me on the cross. You have been so kind to me. Before I spoke a word, it says, you were singing over me. He was singing over us. I'm looking for the little ones there. Before the little ones were born, He was singing over them. He was singing over them. He was singing over them. And before Laren, this little one, is born, He is singing over that little one. That's a new relationship that ought to be celebrated and rejoiced over, because He's singing over that. You have been so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so kind to me. And I think about where we are in our relationship with Christ. I don't fully understand it. Oh, thank God, I thought I was the only one. Come join us. Man, let's dig a little deeper in this thing. And let's understand Him a little more together. And let's bring our questions together. And let's bring our fears together. So, number one, we can kick those to the curb. Bring your fears. What is your fear about submitting to Christ? Well, I gave my life to Him, but this other stuff. I thought about our youngest kids out here, and our teens, and our recent graduates, and our unborn children. And I thought, are we really willing to submit our life to Christ? Oh, and our family. Are we willing to give all that to God? And I remember telling you before, we sat in a concert up in Tulsa, Eric. And the guy said, man, I've got to give my family to God. Spencer was around 11, 12, 13, maybe 14. And all I thought was, the guy was talking about Abraham bringing his son to sacrifice him. I boldly proclaimed that I was too weak for that. And I said, I can't do that. I can't do that. I didn't trust God enough yet. I said, how do you do that? By the way, I don't have the answer to that. I don't know how you do that. but you grow in trust and you grow in your faith. And then you understand that I'm really giving you control because I don't have control over my family anyway. And I don't mean my family's out of control. I'm saying we don't have control. God has it anyway. You see, they belong to Him already. And everything we have and everything we do belongs to Him. And how we do it, it belongs to Him. We do it haphazardly. So-so. It's good enough. We're saying it's good enough for Him, I guess. And we're not giving Him our best. How do we get back on track to lavish our love on Him this Father's Day? God's love for us gave us life. I read you those verses about that. They gave us life, and they continue to give us life every day. They gave us love. How we love other people a lot of times is a reflection on how we accept His love, because it's like a mirror inside of us. It comes in here and it goes out. Our love for others depends on how we receive His love for us. And so maybe it is we don't recognize it. Maybe it is we don't understand it. God's love for us gives us our family. It gives us our church. It gives us relationships, restoration, redemption, salvation. God's love for us gives us grace and mercy. And we are so slow sometimes to recognize that in our life. Our Father in heaven showed us love that we never recognized or acknowledged. It's all around us. And yet we fail to recognize it, or we fail to, and or we fail to acknowledge it. God's love for us gave us advice that we never took, and or we never applied it. God's love for us, even though He has poured it out on us, is still plentiful for everyone else. You know, a couple weeks ago, I talked about Mary with the alabaster flask of oil, very expensive oil. And He pours out His love for us like she did for Jesus. In a lavish style, just saying, "This is everything, and I give it to you." That's what He's looking for from us. He says, "I want you to take everything you have and give it back to Me. I want you to give back your time, your talent, your resources, your finances, your whatever it is. Give it back to Me in a portion that can further the kingdom of God." When we are filled and where we are filled and allow ourselves to be filled with His lavish love, and we open ourselves up to His love for us, there also becomes an outpouring of that love through us. And He's able to show His love to other people through us. As Christians, we ought to be His greatest witness, and we are, but what I'm saying is we should be His greatest witness through our actions and our words and our gentleness and our kindness and our thoughtfulness to others. When we open ourselves up to allow Him to come through us and just soak us and immerse us in His love, and then open ourselves up to show that to others. Well, Adam, showing love was never a big thing in our family. Showing love is awkward. My parents never showed love. My family, my spouse, my whatever it is in relationships, I'm not asking about that. I'm saying open yourselves up to the Father's love. It comes differently. It goes out differently than our love. Open yourself up to His love and His outpouring in and through you, and allow yourself to be used as an instrument for Him. This Father's Day, I just pray that through this small look, that we can pour out our love back to the Father in a lavish manner, one that pleases Him, that we recognize and acknowledge His love for us, not simply by the price paid on the cross, but I'm talking about that we recognize His love for us by first calling us, by adopting us, as Kisha said, and allowing us to be heirs. And then by taking His advice, the fatherly advice. I know the old show is Mother Knows Best, but taking the Father's advice and applying it to our life. Well, I've made a real mess of things back here on that spot marked with an X. That's great. Are you standing on it still? Yes? Well, get off it. Now move away from it. Are you staying on it now? No. Great. Move further away from that. You see, you don't have to stand in the same spot. You don't have to stand in the history of your sin. He allows us to be free of that. And again, He showed us His love by giving His Son, paying the price for our sin. But we don't have to practice sin, and we don't have to stay in it and live in it, and we don't have to live in our mistakes. We can move forward. And I'm telling you, if we wake up every day and if we come to church with an eager expectation, oh man, what's God going to do? I don't know. I mean, remember last year, about a year ago, Jesus Christ showed up here in His robe and He had that crown of thorns? There's no telling what's going to happen when you come with an eager expectation. Lord, there may be another showing of Him. I don't know. I'm just saying, when we come with an eager expectation that allows God to move, what's in here is meant to be heard. It is meant to be applied. But as we mentioned earlier, it's meant to be understood. We do that through discussion. So let's ask questions. Let's talk to one another about it. Let's be real and talk about our challenges to one another. But let's use this as the answer, not YouTube, not Google, not all our friends that don't know better, that don't attend church. Let's use this as the answer and say, look, the answer's right here. Yeah, but what? Either you're His or you're not. So let's come with an eager expectation that we can move forward. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much today for being a good, good Father. God, we thank You for who and what You are in our lives. We thank You for adopting us as Your sons and daughters. God, I pray today that we come with eager expectation before You, not just the church, but before You each and every day. God, I pray today that we move past our past. We move beyond it. God, I pray today for a difference in our lives going forward. God, I pray today that You become a living God in our lives. God, that we don't come before You the same way we came before You. God, I pray today, this Father's Day, that we recognize and we acknowledge your love for us, the lavish love you poured out for us. God, I pray today that we also give that back to you through our time, our talents, our gifts, our resources, our finances, whatever we have to give back to you. God, we thank you for your amazing love for us. We ask you just to continue to pour down your blessings on us today. But we pray today that we recognize those blessings as you pour them out in our lives. God, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand and worship with us as we sing about his amazing love.